No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world, and I'm in here today with some of my favorite dudes in the rap game, Onyx, in the fucking building.
Word out.
When I think about you guys, I can't help but think about the fact that I first heard you. I think I might have been 8 or 9 years old, and my homie in school played it for me on a boombox. And even at that time, not knowing much about rap, I knew that this was some aggressive-ass shit, some intimidating shit. I was very much shocked, taken aback.
What was this song you heard, though? Which
it was
one?
Definitely just the Back the Fuck Up album in general. So that was one of the pivotal moments of me really, you know, I think that there's a thing that happens with any music where there's a moment where it feels almost kind of like offensive and like jarring.
Yeah. And then that's the way we wanted it to be.
You start to accept it and then you love it. Cause I was like that with metal too.
Yeah.
The first metal bands I heard, I was just like, oh no, what the fuck is, and then I started to appreciate it.
You know, Onyx, you know, we came in the game with Jam Master Jay, you know what I'm saying? From Run DMC. So it's like when we met him, that's what he instilled in us, because he came from that Run DMC world, Def Jam, you know what I'm saying, that Rick Rubin style, like, he came from all of that. So that's what we just, you know what I'm saying, we just took it to the next level.
Yeah, definitely. But it's like, when you think about that, was there ever a moment where Jam Master Jay was a little worried about the extent to which your content was so aggressive? And because it was like nothing that hip-hop had ever seen before.
More. He said, more aggressive. Give me more of that.
Yeah. Was that the overall tone with everybody? You didn't run into too many people who thought that you guys were like a little bit too
loose? Nah, we running those people over.
Nah, because it was like, we came in the game for the love of hip hop, you know what I'm saying? And the energy was contagious. Like when people in New York stopped us to say what's up, it was genuinely like, yo, I love you niggas.
And they would turn it up because they felt that he had to approach us on that level.
So, you know, Jay was like, when the game was like changing, when we came in the game, he's like, yo, I want y'all to be the bad boys of hip hop. Y'all rolling with Def Jam. We got y'all full back. We got the bag behind y'all. It's going down. You know what I'm saying? We was in Def Jam with our feet on the table. You know what I'm saying? Like, Public Enemy running through, shout to Flavor Flav and all them. That's the first person we met. That's the first person we met at Def Jam, Flavor Flav. But we was in the building, you know what I'm saying? We took the building over.
Right.
We had everybody rocking with us, you know what I'm saying?
So ahead of your time, too, because when you think about hip-hop now, there's like so much of an emphasis put on all these people doing really aggressive vocals and trying to be very much in your face and aggressive.
Animated.
And you guys were on it in the early 90s.
Yeah, I mean, but it was a progression of 90s hip-hop. It was, you know, you had groups like Cypress Hills, you know what I'm saying? Naughty by Nature, Daz Effects, Laws of the Underground, you know, so M.O.P. Like, we was coming from that. Everybody kind of wanted to kind of get their voice out, and it had to be, like, loud. You know what I mean? Your point had to be loud. At like, 93, you had to be loud. Wu-Tang, you know what I'm saying, came right after us, so...
Was there any conversation going on from the critics and stuff who acted like maybe your stuff was not quite hip-hop because it was so aggressive? Was there any sort of, like, blowback or reaction?
Yeah, they rolled over our tapes with a fucking steamroller one time.
Who did?
Dolores Tucker.
Well, you guys were part of that?
Yeah.
Did you actually go at her?
Shout out to Dolores Tucker.
Nah, we ain't going at her.
Yeah.
I found out about her from that Pac skit.
We enjoyed the press.
Do you remember that Pac skit where he was... I forget exactly what he said about her, but he was saying some wild ass shit.
It was in a movie, actually. It was a scene in the movie, and I was like, yeah, you know, we was definitely part of that whole thing. But to go to back to your question, it was our music was street. Throw Your Guns was the first album.
Anthem.
There was, you know what I'm saying, even though we did the slam and then we did the slam remix with Biohazard.
Right.
And it had that rockers feel. It was street. We was coming from Southside, Queens, Rockaway Boulevard. Yeah. That's what it was.
NYC, Brooklyn.
It was nothing but that. You know what I'm saying? So, but the sound, Sha Skills, the producer.
Rest in peace
to Sha. Him and Jay, they just came with this. We all came with this vibe, the Back the Fuck Up vibe. And that was just the whole vibe for the whole album. Like, letting the industry know, yo, we coming through. We got Def Jam with us. Everybody got to back the fuck up.
How much did you guys know about Biohazard and about sort of the overall world of like rock music and hardcore and punk and that kind of shit? Like, was that something that was sort of new to you once you got into the music game and you started to realize that your content was sort of similar? Or was it something where the music industry sort of introduced y'all?
Well, we were influenced by rock as well as, you know, hip-hop streets, you know. But I, me personally, I didn't know anything about Biohazard until I was introduced to them.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? And they were fucking just as crazy and psycho and hard as us.
Right.
We didn't want to do that record.
Right.
Really?
Nah, we
had we didn't want to fucking sell out. We wanted to keep it gangster and gully.
We had the Slam. The Slam shit was popping at radio. The Slam was popping at radio on MTV.
It was platinum already.
It was like MTV's, like, go-to video for the kids. You know what I'm saying? And, Leo Cohen, he was the president of Def Jam at the time. He was like, yo, man, I want you to do this Slam remix with these guys from Brooklyn, and I'm going to show you who the... Yo, he was, like, bigging these dudes up. Like, these dudes was the shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? So we did our research. There was no YouTube at the time. You couldn't, like, do your... You couldn't do that. There was no internet at the time. You just had to take his word for it.
You went down the street and bought a CD or something?
Nah, we just met him in the studio.
Oh, okay.
So we went to the studio. They was in the studio. An hour, we roll a CeeLo with them. They know how to roll. They just breaking him.
Because those dudes are good dudes for a bunch of rap dudes to meet for their first, like, metal type dudes, because those dudes are, like, straight up dudes.
Yeah, it was too much. There was no, yo, all right, so send these guys your tape. They're going to send the vocals back. It wasn't like that back then.
Nah, it was live.
It was like,
color.
Yo, meet these dudes in the studio. We probably was in Chungking or one of these studios with them. They came with their entourage and their crew. We came with our crew. And we just did it, you know what I'm saying? We had a good time, and it came out a rock record.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Classic.
In a different way than, like, Aerosmith and Run DMC. That was a different type of rock record.
Yeah. This was, you know, Slam was for the streets.
We even took it a step further and did the Judgment Night soundtrack with them.
Oh, wow.
You know,
so you guys did the
lead title track for it.
Oh, wow.
But you know what? I like the Judgment Night track better than the Slam
and the video.
Just because the drums... The drums on the Slam remix was a live drummer. It was a live drummer. And that's cool, but nothing hits harder than hip-hop drums.
Mm. Right.
And Judgment Night, Shy Skills did the drums.
Right, opposed to...
This is some technical shit. Shy Skills did the drums, and they just played the bass and the guitar on top of it and screamed on top of with us. You know what I'm saying? That's just, you know...
Collaboration.
I think Judgment Night was the record that was hip-hop and rock, the hottest hip-hop rock record ever.
Right. Do you, when you hear rappers perform live with live bands, like, are you into that? Or is that in some way take away from it in the way that you see
I'm
it?
I'm cool with that. You know what I'm saying? I'm cool. It's cool.
It depends on the song, the record, and the group.
Yeah.
I would rather have a DJ with the drummer playing on top.
Mm. You know, because it's always kind of that question. Like, is people try to make hip-hop to be more like real music by sticking a guitarist and a bassist and a drummer. It's kind of weird because it's kind of like, nah, like, hip-hop is real music, even if it's just this track that this DJ is playing, right?
Right, that's what it started from, just the basic shit, you know what I'm saying? Turntable and some igga-igga like that.
Mm-hmm. Some igga-igga.
Did you guys ever put much thought into, like, how you were dressing or marketing yourselves? Because that's another thing I remember as a young kid, was just being terrified because the imagery was just so strong. Everybody has shaved heads, everybody's wearing all black, and everybody got these crazy-ass boots on. It was
boots,
just
fatigues, as camouflage.
As a nine-year-old, I was like, holy shit. I'd never been so
hard
sure
ditto.
That some rappers
Yo,
were going to beat
some
my
funny
ass.
Shit,
yeah.
Yo, We used to watch the tapes, like, Throw Your Guns. The first time we watched it at Def Jam, this is a true story. The first time we watched the Throw Your Guns video shot by Diane Martel. So we all in the office, and there's this little girl in there. I think she was one of the executive's niece or something. When his verse came on, she started crying and ran out the office. We was like, yeah, oh, shit. It was crazy.
That's a good sign.
Yeah.
Well, if you play an R-rated movie in front of a little kid, they're probably going to scream and freak out. That's
when
why we
came
don't.
On?
That's why we don't let kids watch R-rated movies.
But
and that's why little kids shouldn't listen to Onyx.
Well, used to. That's fucked up. I'm giving kids nightmares.
Yo, word. So yeah, you know, that's what we wanted to shock
Big
people.
Big up Diane Martel.
And be, it had to be in your face hip hop, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
And rolling with Jam Master Jay, like, he was the captain of the ship, you know what I'm saying? Rest in peace. We was just some young kids from, yo, imagine being a kid from Queens and you meet Jam Master Jay from Run DMC,
mm-hmm.
and he takes you under his wing and you rolling with Run DMC and Run, it's like a dream come true. It's like
from high school to the stage.
It's unbelievable. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And so whatever he said was the way to go, we was listening. There was no, oh, no, you know, it was a creative process, but he was the orchestra. The orchestrator.
To what extent were you guys like hard-headed young kids who were not really trying to hear what anybody was telling you versus realizing the importance of this person that is taking you under their wing and just being like, all right, if you say it's hard, then we're doing it.
Well,
we was realizing. But the second album, we, you know, stepped out of the limb ourselves and wanted to do a lot of production and our own thinking and da-da-da-da-da. Like, you know, he wasn't as absorbed in that album as he was in the first album.
Mm. I mean, you know, shit, you know, if you only going to be objective to somebody that's not fucking what you trying to do. You know what I'm saying? Parents, whoever.
Somebody that don't see eye to eye.
If your parents don't see your vision, then that makes you not fuck with them, and then that makes you go do your own thing.
Mm.
That happened to me. You know what I'm saying? My pops was like, hip hop, what? Go to school, all this shit. You know what I'm saying? But I was like, nah, this is what I want to do. So that put me in the streets at an early age.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? 17, by my, you know, doing my own one too. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
Growing up in South Jamaica, Queens, through the whole crack era and all this shit, just surviving and finding my way. And hip hop led me to, you know, the crew.
How so? Talking about those early days, though, just growing up in South Jamaica, and you guys are just rapping. But like, how do you actually get to the point where people are paying attention to you, to which you're even in a situation where you can have those label meetings and really get out there?
You know, I came from, well, we all came from Brooklyn, then we moved to Queens.
Mm.
When I moved to Queens at the age of 13, 14, 15, I started going to a park called Baisley Park.
Baisley Park.
Now, Baisley Park, they would have park jams. You know what I'm saying? And it would be like big money basketball games, you know what I'm saying, going on in the daytime.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Real, you know, Supreme Team and all these dudes out there. Heard it was like $50,000 a game and all this type of shit. I'm just a little kid, 15.
But were you hearing about that shit? So you knew
I was in the park.
Yeah.
I walked from my crib, 135th to Baisley Park in a hot summertime. Every fucking weekend to go to the park to rap. You know what I'm saying? I was the little kid in the park. You know
doing
what I'm saying?
His
the
thing.
Fly little nigga.
Rhyming. But I was getting with Rock Hill and everybody.
They was letting me under the ropes though.
Uh-huh.
You know, me and my man P.I., you know what I'm saying? Coach Cheeks from the Lost Boys.
This thing was a barber in the hood, top barber. So he was like famous in the hood.
So okay. By the time I was going back to the park, you know, they'd be like, yo, you gonna rhyme today, shorty? You know,
right.
When I'm coming through, I was coming through like the little superstar already, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Cool friend,
my man Rico and all of them, you know. My man Mighty Bone and him dancing and all that, doing all that, and I'm doing the 1-2 with the
G.
mic. So Spank G, Dada Rock, Grandmaster Vic, I came up through that. So that's how I got my name in Southside, through rhyming like that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So did they kind of take you under their wing early on? They really saw your talent, or what was the vibe like with people in the neighborhood and shit?
They didn't take me under my wing. I was
doing.
I was the new shit coming up.
Right.
They were still doing the, you know, the Curtis Blow type shit. Mm. I was coming with the whole new
country
swang, which, you know what I'm saying, the whole different shit. We was coming with the young shit. Me, P.I., Coach Cheeks, we was the young gunners coming up.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
So when you think about that impression that y'all made on the sort of older generation, does that set you up to understand how hip-hop proceeds for, like, every generation since then? Because you're constantly seeing it where something new and shocking and crazy comes out and the existing hip-hop world doesn't necessarily know what to do with it right away.
Well,
I disagree. I think everybody knows what to do with it. I think it's, you know.
Nowadays, it's let's monetize this shit.
Right.
I mean, they were monetizing it back then. It was different technology available, though.
Mm.
You know, so different types of monetization.
Right.
You know, you're talking blend tapes and shit and pause tapes and wax and fucking block parties. Now it's a different type of technology available. Now it's flash drives and fucking streaming and what have you.
But does that feel like it's not as real that, you know, there's less to go through? In reality, is like you as like a 10-year-old rap protege, is like nowadays you would have probably been signed and they would have already been figuring out how to form you, get you some
well,
face
you can't
tattoos.
Because there's a lot of people out there that's not signed.
That's true.
Right.
Currently.
Right.
So it's the same. I don't see any fucking difference except for the mode of transportation.
Mm.
It's still the same destinations and start off points.
Right. But at the same time, nowadays it's like, if you were a 10-year-old who had some kind of rap talent, then you would probably be making your own songs, making your own videos, putting it out, and then they're gonna get millions of views on their own, and then the label, then, I mean, realistically,
right,
the label's
right.
gonna be in there by like 10, 20,000 views
well,
trying
mean,
to talk to you.
Every situation is different. Sometimes it's who you know what I'm saying? You might have somebody in a high place that just put you on somehow, you know what I'm saying? But the hustle is, you have to have the hustle, and you have to have the star quality. But I just wanna say this.
And it's about longevity as well.
Right.
Mm. It's not about your fucking 5 minutes of fame for 5 seconds, you know what I mean?
Right. Hip hop is a young sport to me. I mean, not saying it's a young sport, but I just think when it gets created, the next level of what's gonna happen in the game, it gets created at the age of, like, you know, the adolescents are creating the next sound. You know what I'm saying? Like we created mid-teens. The next sound when we was young. He was
I ran away from home at 15.
Yo, when he signed this contract at Def Jam,
I signed illegally.
He wasn't even 18 yet.
I was 17.
Nowadays they
it was
signed
illegal.
The
con- we could have.
They signed the contract illegally, get the money, and then they get out of it now, right?
What's the limit of statutation? Shit.
Statutation.
Sony Records, call me. Columbia. We gotta talk about this shit. Okay, scarred my whole youth.
In a weird way, though, like a lot of times the new sound or the new innovations come from the younger generation because they're the ones who aren't concerned about existing
fashion,
values, right?
Music, existing technology, the whole shit. You know what I'm saying? Down to the fucking new dance coming out. You know what I'm saying?
Now it's all about dancing.
It's everything.
It's
like,
always been about dancing. You know how to do the WAP?
The WAP. Now you want to show me?
Nah.
I don't think I got the WAP.
Hey, show them how to do the WAP.
Go on YouTube.
That's not how you do the WAP.
You
that's
can
cool.
just Google. now you can just Google the WAP and you can see it like.
You know
but
what
anyway,
I mean?
Yeah,
it's mad shit.
Nowadays you could be like a gangster, like a straight gangster rapper, and you still are on TikTok doing dance moves. That's like some new shit.
I didn't do that one yet, but yeah. It's coming soon.
But they dance with
the
gun.
TikTok.
There's a lot of gun dancing that
Listen,
goes on Instagram.
You did that
these
back
days.
In the days too, man. It's nothing has changed. Okay, look, there's a saying, nothing new under the sun.
Right.
That saying exists for a reason. And I don't know if you know this, but all fucking cliches are true.
Yeah.
Except for one, you know, downhill. Downhill is really easier, not harder. But
you think going downhill is easier?
You think?
Literally, yeah.
Okay, well,
but
there you
like
go.
Going downhill in life is
no.
Well, it might be easier. It takes less effort.
Go. Well, there you go. See, that's the only cliche I found to be untrue.
Right. Interesting.
So downhill from here.
Right. Okay, I got you. Okay, but so you guys like come out in the game and. Did you feel like when you guys got signed or whatever that your success was insured? Like, was the music already fire enough that there was just no chance that this wasn't going to work?
Yeah, we knew it was, you know, the excitement at Def Jam, just excitement.
And the hood stamp.
We was doing, like, little shows, showcases before that, and it was just excitement. You know what I'm saying? We knew we had something. We was from Queens, right? But we made our way to Manhattan. We were city kids. We was taking the train from Queens to Manhattan.
I used to go to school
so we
in
was,
the city.
We was in the village. We was on 40 Deuce. We was doing all that early. So we was, you got some people that don't even leave the hood. Like we was leaving it. So we was going to
going
like
to
the
Red
Parrot, Mars. We was getting up in these clubs. So we was doing, like we was at the Latin Quarters and all that. Like we was there. Like,
well,
you know
like
what I'm
this.
Saying? We was on 40 Deuce like this, watching karate flicks. You know what I'm saying? Like real this. Shit. You know what I'm saying? Watching. Older motherfuckers sniffing coke and all that next to me. Like, I was a little kid, 16, 17, going through this shit, posing with mad money and all that.
Nigga, we was at the club.
So this is like hip-hop. This is hip-hop for real right
Facts.
Here. This is real, you know, the whole shit. This is not just,
nigga,
you know,
we was at the club when KRS-One threw PM Dawn off stage. We lived this shit.
He physically threw him
nigga,
on stage.
Look, we hip-hop a story.
We threw a whole
hip-hop
crew.
Hip-hop a story.
And then the DJ put on. That bitch is over. I was
instantly.
Like, yeah.
What, PM?
It's like I got a line to say, yo, I'm a connoisseur of hip hop. You just connoisseur hip hop.
But I can't remember what was PM Dawn's offense at the time. People just didn't like him because he was on some weird
top shit.
About
him
they was just corny.
Right.
They said some bullshit, I guess, and that's that. Niggas still saying bullshit.
The bridge is over.
It don't stop. Niggas been saying bullshit.
Big up Mad
niggas
Lion.
Saying bullshit now. Every year it's the same shit.
Right.
Nothing changed.
Right. What's the secret?
Still getting beat up.
What's the secret to aging well as a rapper though? Like, is you guys come in the game with such youthful energy?
We about to put out this water. We about to put out the fucking
the
fountain of youth water. It's magnetized water. Me and Dro about to put it out. The fountain of youth water, and the secret is in the ingredients.
It's
listen,
in the
there is
no, not this.
There's no guarantee.
It's my competition.
Where we from?
Right.
You could be fucking here today and going tomorrow, or just. Whenever.
Right.
So to have longevity is just fucking have luck, kind of in a way, because you got
a lot
of niggas locked up.
Stay fit.
When you're a black man in America, anything can happen any
Facts.
Fucking time.
Right.
If you anybody, anybody can die anytime, right? So having longevity is surviving, just surviving. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Then. Having longevity is something to fight for.
Right.
Like, what do you wake up in the morning for? Like,
to do
what
this.
Drives
this,
you?
Yeah.
That's
this,
longevity.
Right?
So why'd
I mean,
you,
for anybody in the world.
To take a piss.
This is just our profession.
Right.
We just rap and act and do this shit.
But you still feel that strongly about rapping?
I feel strongly about life.
Mm. But does it ever get to the point where you're like, I don't know that the rapping part is the part that I care about?
No, I can't, because I just came from Russia and there's thousands of kids.
Sold out show.
Everywhere we, yo, so that keeps.
And the kids are like 16 and shit.
Let me tell you something, man. Hip hop, just like music, you could do this forever. This is what we're going to do forever. Morgan Freeman, how old is Morgan Freeman?
Hey, Morgan Freeman, huh? You think you can't act anymore?
You think he's stopping? You think Grandmaster Flash is stopping? You think these niggas is just sitting at home with their legs up, just,
la, 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 la.
Just
no.
Living off their 401k?
Hell no, you got to keep going.
This is what we do forever. We going to do this shit to the ankles break, nigga.
Right. Do you think it's different with the European kids and shit?
When the ankles break, we still going to do it.
Is it different with the European kids? Like, did they just grow up with a different appreciation for the classics or something?
Same difference.
Really?
What's the difference? They're humans.
Right.
What's the difference?
But do you feel like they somehow have been, like, taught to, like, have more of an appreciation for, like, the overall?
You can't say that.
Hip-hop,
I mean, Americans don't have appreciation for hip-hop. What are you talking about? It's everywhere. It's the same. It's right. The same. It's the same.
But from my experience,
no matter
a lot of these,
how you change the question, it's the same answer.
But a lot of these young kids, like, really straight up just don't know about anything before, like, they were born or before they started listening to rap. It's kind of weird when you feel like they just don't go out of their way at all to have an appreciation for the classics, right?
Some people do. Some people appreciate
that
it. You can't say everybody don't, because there's kids at my show 16, 17, because when we make albums to this day, and we do got a new album, shout to Cleopatra, you know what I'm saying?
Onyx
shout
for
to Snow
Life.
Goons,
Snowmads.
Snowmads album is When we still do these albums and we still do what we do, we still talk to adolescents. We still come at it from a young perspective.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And that keeps our audience young. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you got kids that appreciate real hip hop music. You know what I'm saying?
And
you,
the internet got, makes the world smaller.
You got the Griselda niggas coming through.
Hey.
They rock and shout to Con when he came through. We got a joint with him.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, me and him was in the studio 1-on-1 just chilling. You know what I'm saying? Real shit. And they pushing the culture forward. So the culture is still alive and breathing.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? You just got to know where to get it.
But does it get exciting when you see a movement like Griselda coming out where they're really clearly taking a lot of the classic hip hop sounds and really like sort of bringing back that vibe?
I love it. This is the sound, you know, this is the 90s shit. This is what we like, you know what I'm saying? And that's just what we
pick up Eminem for signing them.
That's what we do.
Shady
this is
Records.
This is what we love. This is hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Straight up. When you listen, even like when I even like produced the joint called Last Days, which was on the second album, when I hear, you know, us as producers, we was all producing that album, you know what I'm saying? In one crib, and we was just listening to old music. Old records, going record shopping, spending money on records. We would go shopping, spending $200, $300 on a record. Like, we was making beats and going into the whole crash. You know what I'm saying?
SB 1200,
on the second album,
Akash.
We produced the whole shit.
Mm.
And Last Days came out of that. You know, a couple of other joints off the album, but that was a classic joint.
And they played that
still
in 7 Mile.
Rocking off that beat. You know what I'm saying? Shit was an 8 Mile movie and all that, but, you know, this is real hip-hop, you know? Even music, learning more about music.
Because
we was learning about all types of other musics that we didn't even know about. Old classics, getting old records and shit, just looking at a record for the cover, playing it and being like, yo, this nigga is dope, man. This
fucking
Lonnie
Green
Smith
Tomatoes
record is dope. Yo, this motherfucking Miles Davis shit is ill. Yo, this Pharoah Sanders shit is crazy. Yo, this, you know
Bob
what I'm saying?
James.
Like, we was just like, the knowledge of hip hop was, it taught us more.
Sponging it.
But do you feel like the current generation, maybe something's lost because they don't have that digging in the crates mentality?
Shit, they got YouTube.
Yeah,
but
do they use it?
They digging in YouTube.
Did they watch anything that came out before 2015? I don't
know.
Maybe once in a while.
Somebody's watching it. You know. It depends on what perspective you're looking at.
You need to stop bashing the younger generation. Let them do what they do. Because listen, back in the days, it was corny niggas too. Mm. And not to say younger generation's corny. Some is, some ain't.
Mm.
It's always been like that, and it's always gonna be like that. Good music, bad music, and who gives a fuck about the music sometimes? Like,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Definitely. Yeah. Are you guys motivated to still like find up and coming talent, sign talent? Have you got burnt doing that before? Is it the kind of thing that you sort of?
We ain't never got burnt. Talk about.
I mean, if it happens, yeah, you know, I like to see the young talent. You know, a lot of that stuff I really don't understand. I keep my mind kind of like in the 90s vibe. Mm. But yeah, my younger brother, he doing his thing. You know what I'm saying? Bamboo
Gutter
doing his one too. You know what I'm saying? We're like 20 years apart, you know what I'm saying? Basically, so there's a real generation gap. He does the whole trap shit, and that's what he do. That's what he understands. That's what he, you know, he in the hood. He's still in the hood. He's still Southside, you know what I'm saying? So it's real.
For sure. Yeah. When you throw on a shirt like that, when you look at that picture, what kind of emotions does that bring up?
This shirt right here.
That's the first Onyx 8x10.
Rest in peace to Big DS.
Yes.
One of the founding members of Onyx. Rest in peace to Big DS. When I see this shirt right here, represents the first picture that we had to sign. You had to sign back in the picture, you had to sign autographs. This is the first picture right here. This was our promo picture. Sun C.
Look, we even had our own merch back then.
Sun C right here, this is my people's. Love him to death, you know what I'm saying? He don't rock with us a lot too much more, but it's always love. This is the original crew. This is the first crew. This is us four. We was the guys, you know what I'm saying? We was the dudes in the studio making it happen. And this full story was, at first, Sticky wasn't in the group. But he was always meant to be in the group. He's my blood cousin.
What stopped it in the beginning?
Huh?
What, how come he wasn't in the group officially?
He lived in Brooklyn.
Oh, okay.
He lived in Brooklyn. He was coming to Queens to you know, come holler at me and all that. And he muscled his way in the group. You know what I'm saying?
Literally, but actually, they gotta beat anybody up before, to get in the group.
Listen, before the group, they already had a 12-inch single out already,
right?
Before Def Jam,
right?
On Profile Records, so they was already hustling, doing their thing. You know what I mean?
100%. You know, what you just reminded me of is the fact that when I was nine, the fact that y'all had a song called Black Vagina Finder was
me and Jack.
I didn't know what the fuck.
You didn't know what a black vagina finder was?
I just didn't know that there was anybody who considered themselves a vagina finder. And never mind that you were so intent on only black. I'm sure it was not only black vaginas, but just in general.
I don't even know how we came up with this crazy shit, but it was crazy, right?
I was like 9 years old, like trying to wrap my head around it. The only lyric that might have disturbed me more was when Eazy-E said, I may be a woman beater, but I'm not a pussy eater.
Oh, shit.
No, but the vagina wasn't black. Jack was black. Just me and Jack. The black vagina finder. But Dick is black. Well, brown.
Right.
And it's from the boogie down.
That's something new to me. I thought it was the black vagina finder. All right.
But at that time, were y'all not interested in non-black women at all? Or was it just a song?
Nah, it was just a song.
Okay.
We love all women. My mom's is one.
Yeah. Right. What you mean? Well, I swear, I don't know what the hell we talk about.
I mean, there's some guys just don't want any white pussy in their life.
I think it was
actually pussy is pink.
There's plenty of girls out there who don't want any white dick in their life. Trust me.
I don't know about that.
I think it was just the wordplay, man. Just the wordplay. That's it. It wasn't nothing too, you know, no message behind this shit.
Right. Why? You don't like black pussy?
No, I'm all about it. I've heard great things.
Heard? So you have an experience.
No, I've been.
There you go. See, the truth comes out.
I can't act like I'm a connoisseur. I didn't dabble to the extent I could. I had a girlfriend for almost 4 years, so it's like, actually, I tell her that all the time. It's kind of racist that you're not black.
What you tell her? Was she had a black pussy?
No, oh. I just tell her, like, I feel like you should just give me a pass and let me, like, go to the strip clubs in Atlanta and shit. You know?
Oh, shit.
Then you might only black pussy.
She's like,
in Atlanta.
You might get kidnapped.
Let me rock, baby. I don't know.
Like, I'll be back next week.
Well, you heard the story. Once you go black,
is that real? Is that your experience with white women?
Once you go white, it's always right.
No, that you enter a white woman's life and then it's over. Like she's
when
just...
I enter a white woman's life, her credit is fucked up. Okay.
Be real though. Was there a period in your life in which that was true?
What was true?
In which you would meet a woman and then her credit was just toast. You would convince her to be taking out loans and whatever. Like, there's a lot of rappers who rap about this shit these days.
Don't have no good credit. Shit.
Nah, I would enter a woman's life and fucking change that shit, make it better.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
So her credit gets worse, but her life overall gets better. So it's kind of a trade-off.
He's a guru.
Wow, that's incredible. Y'all are married these days? Or?
Yeah, you play ball? What's up with it?
Yeah, I'm amazing. No,
really?
No, I'm trash.
Oh, I thought no jumper meant, like, you know, don't jump nobody, like a fair one and shit.
No, real talk, we do jump people for sure because we can't fight. And we suck at basketball, so it's kind of like a reference to that, you know?
So white men can't jump, is that true?
In this case, yeah. Although that's I lost a lot of weight, so I'm thinking about really trying to like learn to shoot.
Big up Rappaport.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, you fuck with Rappaport?
That's my dude.
Yeah.
But you don't like him?
No, I do.
That's the first dude I met in LA.
Really?
Word is born.
That's a weird way to start your LA experience.
Word. I was like, yo, who is this kid talking all this shit?
What year are we talking?
This is like, I came to LA with Jam Master J for the first time. We was in first class. This is my first time in first class. I'm with Jam Master J. And it was for an audition for this TV show called B-Boys that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And Quincy Jones and Russell Simmons was going to produce it. And I was dibbling with the movie game. I think I already had books strapped or whatever. Or maybe Strap was in a can. I think I just finished
Pick
it.
Pick up Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah, the Forrest Whitaker joint.
Directorial on debut. HBO.
I had did that, me and Stick and all that. You know what I'm saying? Jam Master J, we took that whole soundtrack over.
Yeah.
Strap was our whole movie. But anyway, back to the story. I came to LA and they had like a basketball thing set up in the back for all of, you know, the talent and whatever. So I come through with Jay, chilling, meeting the dudes and... Everybody's kind of shooting the ball, playing ball, you know what I'm saying? And Michael Rappaport is just talking mad shit. I'm like, yo, who is this dude? Yo, you know, man, you know. But he was cool, though, you know what I'm saying? So that was kind of like the first dude I met in L.A.
It's kind of crazy because sometimes people question, like, whether he really has the right to be talking
this
about
is like
rap.
93.
When you see somebody like him, though, like, should people be questioning Michael Rappaport's ability to speak on the culture? Because
he's for real. He's the real deal.
He'll grab his phone and straight up talk shit about the new hot rapper.
He
don't give
deal.
A fuck.
You know what it is, man? Like, even what you were saying, like, with the white girls and all that. When you was born in a certain, I think, like, in the 80s, I think the hip hop culture came in already. Like when I came in, it was Michael Jackson and Prince. There was no hip hop. Like I saw hip hop being manifested. I saw it being born. So by 10 years after me, the kids already grown up in hip hop. Mm-hmm. It's already created.
Pick up Cool Herc.
So whether you're white, black, it's in your homes. You know what I'm saying? MTV is playing this shit. You're getting it. You're getting access. You know. White fathers is like, what the fuck is this? My daughter wants to, you know, play hip hop music, and the white kids is, you know, dressing like
pants sagging.
You know what I'm saying? It's seeping into the fucking suburbs, and it's unstoppable.
Right. Yeah, I remember my mom telling me that rap wasn't music, and I really am glad just to know that my kid will get a nice hip hop education from day one. Like we're gonna be playing the and I hate the censored version on Spotify right now, but I'm gonna definitely be fucking with the censored versions once the kid comes out.
They born into this shit now. Mm. So, you know.
That's crazy. So in terms of teaching your offspring about hip hop though, do you go out of your way? Is it an important thing?
I played in the car.
Okay.
You know?
But you don't try to like embed like the
overall. They actually requested. They'd be like, my little 3-year-old, he'd be like, yo, play that Tribe Called Quest joint.
Really?
Yeah, can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
That's his favorite group. He like Tribe Called Quest.
Because I've heard from some fathers that it's weird because like their kids will just straight up like only want to listen to new school rap, and it's really hard for them to coax them back to an older sound.
Yeah, it's crazy. They don't, they actually don't like the kind of trap music. They like the old school shit. I mean, I guess because I play it so much.
Yeah.
I got Sirius XM. I keep my shit on LL Cool J shit, Rock the Bells. That's how I rock. You know what I'm saying? So that's what they get. They get what I give them. You know what I'm saying?
100%.
What I teach them.
I just wanted to get your thoughts on this. Swizz said in an interview recently that Sticky reminds him of 6ix9ine. Like that energy when 6ix9ine came out.
Other way around.
Right. 6ix9ine reminded him of you. And I thought that was really interesting because... I mean, I could see it. That like pure unbridled rage.
I ain't never snitched on nobody.
Oh shit! Damn.
But you know, besides that, before that, the energy. You never had rainbow hair either, huh?
Actually, I had blonde hair before.
Oh really?
Yeah.
That's hot.
Yeah. I had rainbow hair.
You did? Manager's like, interview's over. They're comparing him to 6ix9ine. Oh, how you feel about Swizz saying something like that, though? You ever think that?
Sound wise, when he was rocking, when the first video, when you got that imagery, you thought it was real. I could see him saying that.
Right. Then it comes out that it's maybe not so earned. They just sort of came to the hood that day. And the funniest thing I heard was that he came with 50 red bandanas.
Yo, this would be a great, it would be a great movie though, right? Like, just,
oh yeah,
I mean, like on some
though.
Comedy shit. It would have to be a comedy, though. Right. Like, straight comedy.
That's my favorite detail though, is that he showed up to the block with 50 red bandanas. Like, he gave out the red bandanas in the hood to the Bloods.
Coming to courtroom with a list of shit, like a long list.
They have their own bandana.
A scroll.
I mean, like if you go to Brooklyn, like you might see a red bandana here and there. You're not gonna see 50 dudes rocking on the same.
When's the last time you've been to Brooklyn?
A couple months ago.
Starbucks everywhere.
Where you was at? Got the Barclays.
Starbucks yeah. everywhere.
Well, hey, it goes down to the Barclays. You know they were shooting people over there too.
Brooklyn ain't the same, man.
It ain't.
They, you know.
When's the last time you've been out to like Williamsburg and just been? Because like every person who's ever lived in New York, you go to Williamsburg now and you're just like, what the fuck is this? How did this happen?
Yeah, like even Harlem and South Side is still South Side.
Gentrification.
Yeah, it's gonna be slow.
The hood is still the hood.
It's slow because like it's certain like you wonder when Brownsville is gonna become like a real nice place to live.
Well, I'm sure
when
it
gets some more brownstones.
I'm sure it is right now. You know, I think it's you know as far as like parts of the city, it's just a lot of valuable property out there, man. So they seeing that shit and you know money talk, bullshit walk. 100%. So they changing the whole hood up. You know what I'm saying? But the culture is still alive in the hood, though. You know, kids are still doing what they need to do.
Yeah, sticking
niggas
things
are
up.
Still getting shot, stuck up. It's still the same struggle, man.
Because you guys remember New York before, like, most of the guns were gone, right? It was, like, a very different
age. The
guns
age. Are gone?
I mean, a large percentage, allegedly.
I didn't know that.
Really?
I
had a lot of rappers say that to me when I talk about gun crime being way, way down in New York.
Nah, I don't know about all that.
I mean, statistically, gun crime is way down in New York.
You know what? I think that it might be. I think the struggle might be a little less of a struggle now. I think there's more ways to get money now. So I don't think it's like we got to go to the extent where we got to run up on these niggas on the block selling. Ain't nobody selling crack no more on the street. That shit is over.
So that right there, you're going to have way less
gun violence on the streets. It ain't like that. Niggas, it's a different hustle now. You know what I'm saying? Niggas is doing it a different way. But, nah, it's still, you know, it still goes down.
Yeah.
It still goes down and shit. It's crazy, you know?
Definitely.
You know, you could be anywhere, it goes down. You could be in Hollywood Hills and it goes down. Yeah. It goes down.
Hey, were you guys, it's crazy, did you guys get familiar with Pop Smoke, who basically
loved his music? Right. Never met him, but, you know, my little brother, I was telling you, he put me on his music and I was like, yo, this shit is crazy.
Yeah.
We went to this little weed party in Manhattan and the DJ played that shit. He was like, yo, this that Pop Smoke shit I was saying, but I was like, rolling my weed, I'm like, this shit crazy, like the tone of it, you know what I'm saying?
Right, because I was watching the shit on YouTube, and then
piece of the young brother.
Over the summer, I went to Rolling Loud, right. And it's everywhere, every fucking car, every bodega, every fucking Uber, you would hear that fucking song bumping.
I keep my ear to the streets, man, you know what I'm saying, with this hip-hop, even though I don't really get with it, you know what I'm saying? I keep my ear to the street, because like I said, my younger brother, he's all about it, you know what I'm saying? So, Bamboo Star, Bamboo Gutter, you know, he that's what he do. So he puts me on everything that's going on. You know what I'm saying? My brother Hussein too. We all keep our ear to the streets with this hip hop shit. But I keep my ear to more like the 90s shit though. That's what I fucks with. Because there's a lot of new young 90s shit coming out. You know what I'm saying? Word.
Definitely. So wait, what were you guys listening to in particular? Like new 90s style shit that's been coming out?
I mean, there's a couple of kids. I'm not going to mention their name. Because
we ain't nobody publicists.
Yeah, no clout. That, you know no free saying? Clout. You got a sign, you want the clout.
Nah, we ain't going to do that. But there's a few, you know, kids out there that's keeping the culture rocking right now.
100%. Can we talk about this Kodak beef?
No.
Oh, shit.
Yo, we can talk about
I don't feel like this ain't has no been beef. Properly explained.
First of all, there's no beef. The little man is locked up, and right. I sent my blessings to him. You know what I mean? But I wouldn't wish that on nobody.
A lot of us were shocked that Onyx would have anything to do with Kodak, and then he comes out with this crazy-ass story. Do you want me to read what he said?
I know what he said.
He said, so I grabbed his bag, right? I threw it. Then I went in that bitch. He had a gun in there, dog. When I tried to shoot the blank, his gun was fake. I said, man, what the fuck? So he went running. At the same time, why are you running for if you know your gun fake? This N-word an actor, man. What the, like, what is this story? I don't understand.
All right, next scene.
No, so nothing? This is all stuff that has to be kept off the record?
Listen, we're talking, off the record? Listen, I make records, all right?
Now, everything is on the record. No.
Peep game. Let's, you know, not to disrespect nobody, because, you know, I'm an OG in this shit, and I'm here to bring the light, you know what I mean? Because I'm darkness, all right? Boom. Let's think about the person we're talking about. Is this the same person that tried to bring mad shit through a Canadian border, the same person that said disrespectful shit about Nipsey Hussle. Like, that's the thing about the character of person we're talking about.
No, he's a character.
Think about the drugs.
We just leave it right there.
And all this, like,
you can just leave it right there. You know what I'm saying? That's that.
So you never owned a fake gun?
Yo, I hope the brother get out of jail. You know what I'm saying? Continue on what he got to do to provide for his family and keep on moving, man. You know what I'm saying? Shout to the Zoes. You know what I'm saying? I got mad Haitian brothers. You know what I'm saying?
Ça passe.
Yo, word up. So we're going to leave it like that. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Gangsta shit.
Shit. All right. Well, one day we'll figure it out, I guess.
OG shit, my nigga.
It's already figured out. Fuck you, me.
It's already figured out.
But you're supposed to ask those questions and you will get the right answer. Mm. See? And you got it.
No, that's the fun part about doing an interview.
So that's when you move to the next situation.
No, but there's been a lot of times over the years where you guys have had like very confrontational experiences with media hosts, and it makes for like amazing viral content.
Yeah, it does.
You definitely told Charlamagne to fuck off.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Charlamagne, which is cool. We shook after the whole incident.
And big up to the
Breakfast Club. You know what I'm saying? So, like, people don't know that. Like, after the whole shit went down, we took pictures and we shook. So if we were to shake hands after something that happened, the incident is there. Mm. You can see it. You can watch it. You can have fun. Ha, ha, ha. But as real human beings, the shit got settled right there. It would, like, you wouldn't shake nobody's hand, take a picture with them, and still have beef with them. Mm. Or I have a problem. Not even a beef. Even I have a touch of a problem with them. Mm. You know what I'm saying? But you can have a problem with somebody at that moment, and that's that.
Right.
So, you know, and that's what you supposed to do. I have a podcast now called Rappers and Ballers.
Rappers
so
and Ballers.
We about to pop that shit off. And believe me, what we talking about, you know, a lot of, you know, Rappers and Ballers about, you know, ballers and rappers and just, you know, industry talk, but mostly about sports and music.
But you haven't started yet or you have?
We have started.
We're about to start. We're going to holler at you about this.
Oh, let's do it, yeah. But that's the question, though, is like, if you have somebody on your show, if you were interviewing Sticky,
right,
would you be hitting him with the hardest question if it wasn't
you
your best friend
you have
or whatever?
To, but you get the answers, and you. But when you try to like do too much,
that's when
shit gets kind of funky. You know
I mean,
what I'm
you got to respect somebody's desire to be quiet about things that haven't been 100% made public. You know?
No, because I feel like if there is something that needs to be discussed, it should be two people in a discussion at the same time.
But that's when it gets weird, is when there's sort of like a hanging thread left by somebody like in this situation who puts out his version of a story that apparently maybe was a real story, but the other person in the story doesn't want to come out and say this is exactly what happened.
The only time that there's a real story is when somebody is filming it.
Mm.
Then you know what is real. Other than that, nigga could just be saying any fucking thing.
Right.
You understand? Did you get your clickbait right there? There we go. Happy, right? Everybody's fucking happy now.
No, that was good.
All right. Here we go.
Okay. So in terms of I don't even know what to do at that point.
I'm saying, bro, you talking to the guy, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
I've been doing this shit, man. I still feel blessed to be here to talk to you now. This is an honor to sit here and still be alive to talk to my nigga, No Jumper.
Mm.
This Onyx is in the building, my nigga, and we still rocking. Like, it's still love. We still get the love from what we did 20 years, 30 years ago.
Still doing.
It still makes people blood boil you. At the shows, they still slamming, still jumping off that. Yo, niggas is wilding.
Right. Were the mosh pits a part of the early shows, or did that
absolutely
come around over time? Was there like mosh pitting in the early days of Onyx? Because nowadays,
it never stopped.
A lot of people want to act like that's a new thing at
nigga,
rap shows.
It was mosh pits in the hood.
Nigga, listen, as far as mosh pit and stage diving and hip hop, we invented that.
Mm.
Facts. Who else?
I don't know.
I'm telling you.
We working on a slam documentary, you know what I'm saying, about the slam culture and hip hop.
Slam boys.
All the forefathers of the slam culture and hip hop, because we came with the record called Slam.
Right.
Dup, dup, dup.
So that cements that. That cements that, right?
Right.
Okay.
100%. Is that song, that song is a huge part of your life. Do you still love performing it, or is it?
I love performing it because people love me to perform it.
Mm. 100%.
This guy's smart.
You just realizing that? Or?
No, I'm telling you. I'm telling the world.
No, I just was smoking some of that Nick Diaz. He got the pre-rolls.
Nick Diaz weed.
Oh, that shit's crazy.
You smoke it and you just want to beat the shit out of someone?
Yeah, just. No, but you smoke that Mike Tyson weed, you want to beat the shit out of somebody.
Yo, Mike Tyson got some good weed too, though.
Oh, really?
We did the podcast. Yo, I left with the gift bag. I ain't even know no weed was in that shit.
Oh, he got the good.
Knockout. That shit was like weed gold.
Really?
It was like gold.
Yeah, all kinds of weird designer waxes and shit like
no,
that.
No, it was just some good flower. Like wow. Tyson had it. Like, I mean, I don't know what they got now, but it was a good podcast and some good weed.
Damn. You ever think we're getting in the weed game these days?
Nah, I mean.
Yeah, we're gonna put out a strand. It's called Onyx. We got that sticky dro.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know.
You know what I'm saying?
Never get high on your own supply. I smoke too much, nigga.
Yeah, but these days
you're smoking up.
Well, I don't think that logic really applies. Yeah. If it's a legal business, like right. Nobody's gonna tell you like if you own a hamburger shop, don't eat the hamburgers.
Nah,
right?
Tell that to the hamburger.
We've had meetings. We've talked about it with the weed game. You know what I'm saying? But right now, I think it's kind of like over. I think it's oversaturated, man. You know what I'm saying? I think the players that came in already are in the game already. You know what I'm saying? Yo, now you might if we can do something with the logo, which is the best logo in hip hop, the Onyx logo.
That
if
is a fire logo.
If
man.
We can license the it and do some face. Other type of things, then that's cool. But as far as like, you know, growing flowers and doing all that, like I don't know what level of.
Do you have licensing deals for the merchandise? Because is it like? There's stores you can go to where they just have the honest shit, like the Metallica shirts and shit.
We just did a big licensing deal. I can't say nothing because it's not a non-disclosure agreement. But we do it independently as well. Like I see kids in fucking Bulgaria with a fucking jacket. I'm like, yo, where you get that? Oh, you went to the website. I'm like, damn, it got there, huh? Okay. The shipment landed. All right.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, we do merch and all that. Like, we always got to brand ourselves. And like I said, when we came in the game, Jam Master Jay said, y'all gotta have an ill logo.
That's a fact. That's good advice right there.
Y'all gotta have an ill logo. Y'all got, you know, we learned from the best. Mm. And the jewels that he gave us is my family is benefiting from that.
Right. 100%. So is the acting game still a significant part of your life?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Is that like a hustle you just pick up at a certain point and then you just know how to keep it going throughout your career? It's like most rappers don't seem like they ever get turned on to that shit. But the dudes who do seem like they're able to keep going and doing that shit.
Like, you know, right? That's exactly what it is. Right. We came in the game.
IMDb, baby.
We came in the game, slipped in the game, never went to acting school.
Mm.
And you learn on a set around professional people who teach you how to be professional. Like the first time I did a movie, it was called Strap, where everybody auditioned for it. But I remember this time when Forrest Whitaker looked in my eyes, and this dude is like, you know, this is Forrest Whitaker. I didn't know who he was at the time, but I did my research, and I was like, oh, this shit is real.
Right.
So he was interested in me playing his character in his movie. So he looked at me and said, can I trust you? Are you gonna be serious about this? And I looked at him and said, yes. Dead serious. And I came on the set. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. Just some kid off the street who had the energy. I had Def Jam behind me.
Uh-huh.
Russell sent me to the audition. So I had that rocket, you know what I'm saying? But it's just, and you keep doing it. He got in the game. Look at him. Blade all types of shit. You know, it's a hustle.
Right.
100%. 91 movies later.
Yeah.
You know, it's a hustle for the actors that's getting Academy Awards. This is what they do. You have to have a passion for it, though. You know what I'm saying?
You have to have a passion for anything that you do long term.
Right. But once you get into the game, is it kind of odd because you come from such more of like a real environment? Like a lot of actor people, I don't know. Why would it be odd? Because I just assume that actors are just coming from a completely different world that they might not necessarily understand.
What world are they coming from?
It's the same thing.
Pretending to be other people and not really doing shit.
So what's so odd about it?
I'm gonna tell you something. It's like this.
I mean, actors, I feel weird around.
It's like
this. They don't smoke enough weed.
Put it like this. You could be a guy with a mansion, rich, do some fucked up shit, and then you gotta go to jail and live in a fucking fort. And you know, you have to adjust, right? Adapt.
Right.
So if you on a set and you never did acting, they don't know your back. You adapt
to the situation.
Iron Man. You adapt to the situation. This is what it is, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Robert Rock Downey.
100%. You know, I only watched The Wire like last year.
Yeah.
And I was so overjoyed. you pop up. I'm just like, oh my, I have to stop. I have to tell my girlfriend. This is why this is important. This is crazy. I forgot that he was on the show. Was that a wild ass experience, like that one in particular, to be a part of? Because that's like 100%. The Wire is as important in like hip hop as any album.
I'm gonna tell you a story about The Wire. All right. So we was filming in Baltimore, and I wasn't part of the initial cast. I was just like a, you know,
reoccurring.
It was already huge by the time you got on there.
I was a reoccurring. So by the time I got to the set, everybody I knew was on the set. JD. Hassan Johnson was on the set. So we was all in the hotel. Everybody came to my room and we was blowing it down.
Wow.
Everybody in my room, you know.
Idris was getting
I got kicked out. Nah, Idris, he didn't blow down. I ain't gonna front, he didn't blow down. Idris was probably, he had a lot of lines. I was with the niggas who ain't have that many lines.
He'd forget his accent. He'd start talking like a bloke again.
You know what I'm saying?
That's funny.
But anyway, we was rocking, and then I got kicked out the hotel.
Oh, man. That
so happens. I think that's probably what my character, they was like, listen, this motherfucker, this motherfucker costing us money. That's why Bird only had two or three, you know, episodes on it. But we shot it in Baltimore, and it was good working with, you know, the different people, and it was real, you know. Shot it in Baltimore.
Yeah.
When they threw me on the floor, when I think there was like crack valves. It was crack valves
and
on
that,
the
that
floor.
And that wasn't art direction. That wasn't art design either.
Like, yeah,
it was
like,
real.
Yeah, it was real, my dude. Like, because they arrested me in a scene and put me on. I was like, yo, give me the fuck up. This is dirty. It's crazy. Man,
that's crazy. Do you worry that your touring business might be jeopardized by the coronavirus?
Yes.
Well, that's why we start drinking Heinekens.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Motherfuckers got a bag full of Lysol, nigga. Straight up, Lysol, everything.
Because you guys are going all over the world.
Music. I mean, this Corona
shit. I got a Lysol mask, nigga.
If it was like platinum and shit, this is way bigger than Ebola.
Right. Bud Ice. The Bud Ice virus. We'd all be gone already, man. You ever try that shit?
No.
So much alcohol in that
shit. The Corona virus. Shout out to Corona Queens, too. You know what I'm saying? Corona. I know they like, what the fuck? Word. The coronavirus.
We got to move.
Yo, that's got to be the weirdest place to live right now.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I rep Corona, word. All right, son, I'll be over here, son. I'm repping Corona, nigga. What's good, son?
I had a friend who made a
shirt. But blessings to all of the victims that were struck by it.
No, I had a friend who made a shirt that said coronavirus in the Corona font, like right when it came out.
Yo,
already doesn't seem that funny because so many people died from it, right?
I heard the stock went down. Is this
oh, big
real
time, yeah. Ain't people... Yeah. Well,
nigga fuck around me, coffee. You get out of here and shit.
Man, can you imagine when the coronavirus hits the hood?
I don't think it's going to hit the hood.
I hope not.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we got a force field.
But now they got people getting it who haven't even left the country and shit. For a while, it was like, oh, he went to Italy. He went to Korea.
This shit is crazy. I mean, every year there's something.
But think about it. They got a Chinatown in every city, so.
And they all smell pretty bad, I'm gonna be totally honest.
We ain't gonna say all that, but they probably travel. What he's saying is they travel. But what I was saying is, like, come on, the ratio to hopefully they'll find a cure for this fucking shit, because this shit is gonna jeopardize a lot of money for a lot of people. It already has.
Jeopardize lives.
Motherfuckers is losing money already. The stock market, this shit is crazy, man. So hopefully it doesn't affect us. But, you know, when big things happen, sometimes it affects us. I was even telling my man, like, we used to go to Russia. It used to be crazy in Russia. You know what I'm saying?
If you look on
to all my Russians, you know what I'm saying?
Not to cut you off, but if you look on a can of fucking Lysol that's been around for years, on the back of it, it says disinfects for the human coronavirus.
Yeah, we saw that on World Star. Right?
And I got one in my fucking bag. Real life, I checked it. It's a fact. On the Clorox wipes and on the Lysol shit.
A Jamaican nigga, African nigga was like, look at this.
I was like, just spray that shit inside your drink.
Wait, so they already knew about this fucking virus a long time ago?
Yeah.
Welcome to Earth. What? Where are you from?
You knew about the coronavirus before the last few weeks?
No, I mean, he got the Lysol bottles.
I'm not reading the Lysol bottle.
It's been there.
I'm not just reading that shit.
I'll put you up on
game,
my dude.
You in the store like this.
Before we had iPhones, I'm going to admit, I used to actually like read the ingredients on food while I was eating it because there was nothing else to read.
Right.
Now we got an iPhone. I don't need that.
Nah, but you know, sometimes, like I was saying, like when the whole Russia shit...
Listen, everybody
shit
just go
up,
vegan.
The ruble drop. Then hopefully this shit don't affect our touring. Hopefully it don't affect the
fuck
world.
Fuck the touring.
Fuck the touring.
Hopefully
the world.
It don't kill more people.
Right. Mm. Yeah, let's think like that.
100%.
All right.
What'd you say? You really vegan?
Yeah, aren't you?
Hell no.
What's wrong with you?
That's just,
see,
he's what's wrong apart. With the fucking world?
Eat steaks?
Hell yeah.
See, I don't eat steaks.
Killing the planet.
I eat steaks, chicken, okay. Bacon, chicken. Eggs it's every okay. morning.
You go get some wings, man. You'll be
all right. I lost 45 pounds, and now everybody's like, oh, are you vegan? I'm like, hell no.
He's the opposite.
I'm eating fucking shitload of drugs. I wish it was the drugs. That would be fucking a lot faster. No, but I'm eating hella meat. But, you know, this is what it is. What do you guys got going on?
See, that's the first symptom right there.
That was the coronavirus from that.
Fuck?
Ironically, I just ate a salad with fucking all vegetables, no protein.
Wow.
Oh, because salad doesn't have protein. Romaine doesn't have protein.
Little tiny minuscule bit compared
Kale,
to eat a chicken breast.
Tell them about the gorilla.
You
got
to do your research. You got to do your research, okay?
The gorilla is the strongest animal in the jungle, and all he eats is.
Somebody give me a visual aid of how much kale you would have to eat to equal the amount of protein in a chicken breast.
Chicken, hot sauce, thanks. Fried chicken.
You guys are killing the planet.
You got to try truff. This hot sauce is truffles in it.
What?
Fire.
That might be over my head, man.
You can get it at Whole Foods, man. What kind of hot sauce you use?
I need the hood shit, B. I need like the. Whatever they got hood, Louisiana, what they got out here, Red Rooster.
You go to Kennedy Fried and just take all the packets?
Nah, sometimes I get the Tabasco, you know, I want to, you know, get bougie with it. You know what I'm saying?
Tabasco's bougie?
Hell yeah. We don't go past Tabasco over here.
But you could go super hot. Could you go on hot ones and eat the hottest one?
I would try.
Okay.
I think I probably could, I don't know. Mm. I probably could get kind
of,
you know.
Yeah, I'm see
not scared of that shit.
Pouring milk on this motherfucker.
I'm not scared of that because I've never seen anybody freak out that bad on a show.
Right. I probably, I'm from the hood, son. We like it like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Straight up shit.
I already know.
Straight up shit.
You're done, though.
Niggas put hot sauce on potato chips.
We can get you some cauliflower wings to make up for this.
Cauliflower wings?
Is that cool?
Yo, I tried that vegan shit. I was on tour. I was eating a falafel at 2 in the morning. I was like, nah, that's it.
It's over?
I can't do it.
Damn.
It was a wrap.
Did that hurt?
That falafel killed me. I was like, yo.
Does what hurt?
Having your brother turn his back on the vegan cause.
Everybody is allowed to live their own life and have their own opinions. Me personally, I don't eat dead rotten flesh.
Me neither. Well, my shit ain't
my
rotten.
My shit ain't dead either. My shit is fresh. Nice and
it's alive.
When I cook it, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. Like my nigga Ghostface say, eat dead birds, son.
Right, but do you smoke vegan weed?
No,
that's the whole thing.
Organic weed.
It's vegan too, though, right?
No GMO.
Don't make me check your
shoes. No GMO.
Nah, we smoking.
Got some leather shoes on.
We smoking Louis. We doing Louis over here, man.
Technicality, got him.
Nah,
Louis Skywalker. That's all we fuck with.
These blessed.
That's all I fuck with.
And that's ensure the
OG.
Okay.
That's it. I don't fuck with none of that sativa shit. This shit make a nigga wanna.
Do you have any pets?
Make me nervous and shit.
Yes.
What?
White cat, 17 years old, from Brooklyn.
Are you gonna eat it?
No.
Why not?
That's my friend. That's my boy. He's been with me for years.
And I fucking,
because
I rest my case, Your Honor.
But every, like you said, everybody got their own preference, and that's that.
But okay.
Yo, I used to be with Don King, with my man Steve Marcano. Shout out to Steve Marcano, whole Impact Network and all that. But Don King used to eat dry aged steaks.
Mm.
Yo, I had one of those shits. I was like, yo, this shit is crazy. Have you ever had
one?
Good.
You love it?
So.
Eat a dry aged steak one day.
I got it.
Try it.
I'll go to Don King's house.
It's different. It's some other shit, bro.
The difference between my cat and like the pig I ate this
you
morning.
You gotta kill it and eat it yourself.
No, it's just that, you know, okay, like is killing things is bad, but there's certain people that gotta die. Somebody breaks into your house, you gotta kill them.
And eat them.
Well, I mean,
the fuck?
That's illegal.
Says who?
The U.S. government.
All right, we'll go to another country.
Go to Chinatown, motherfucker.
Hey, if we eat a bunch of human bodies,
he said that. I didn't say that.
Shit's gonna get worse way faster.
Why?
The coronavirus
is gonna
be really
shocking. Human is on the fucking menu. It's a delicacy.
In what country?
Probably like
Earth.
Probably like, oh shit. You gotta go. You gotta go black market.
Or white market if you want white meat.
I'm on the dark web buying human flesh.
Yeah, I'm sure you can get it.
You been on the dark web?
Maybe like calf muscle.
They say you can get every drug on there.
Calf muscle.
I want a guy who's been doing calf lifts for his entire life just to bump beef that shit up so I can eat it.
Eat right there, that calf muscle.
Do you want the muscly one?
Well, it all started eating pussy.
I may be a woman beater, but I'm not a pussy eater.
Shout to Eazy-E, man.
R.I.P.
Shout to Eazy-E. I met Eazy-E one time. At the Jam Master Jay video.
See, that's what you get.
The video was Down with the King.
I knocked my coffee over first. I don't know if that was on camera. Mm-hmm. Wait, you met him where? At the Down with the...
Yeah, he just ignored us.
Down with
me.
The King.
At the time.
Yeah, he was like, fuck us. I was like, oh, shit.
Goddamn.
You know what I'm saying? Easy. But we rocking, man. We still... Back to your question, what we doing right now? We doing the Rappers and Ballers podcast with my nigga Johnny Voga. You know what I'm saying? We just rocking out with that. Man Stick about to get into the studio. He got some movie projects he's working on. I got some movie projects I'm working on, and we got a lot of tour dates. You can go on onyxhq.com, check out all the tour dates. We rocking. Shout out to Good Friday Entertainment. My nigga Perry, representing all the Greeks
Malacca.
Out there. You know what I'm saying?
Let's get it, man. Onyx in the fucking building.
Yeah. Onyx,
I'm so glad.
For life.
So glad I got to ask you guys all these questions that have been burning in my mind for the last few months.
Ooh, man.
Oh, yeah?
Well, I got ready for this interview a few months ago, so yeah.
Yeah, then you got it done, man.
I think one of you showed up for the interview, but then the other one didn't show up, so the other one was like, nah, fuck this, and just left.
Nah, it was, I think we was just touring. I don't know. You know how shit be.
That's
you
what
was,
my publicist
I think
told
you was busy. You was going to, like, you was busy.
It wasn't me.
No, I think I left.
I always got time for Onyx.
I flew out.
Oh, you was okay. Busy. I saw you at all the, you know, the
it
gym
was me.
Backstage.
I knew you was a fucking cow
all
eater.
That.
Where was I?
You was all over the place. I see you all over the
you're
internet.
You're keeping up on my shit?
Yes.
What?
You're out there, son. You big, my dude. You big time, son.
I got a lot to learn. I didn't know you were
you popping, my nigga. That's why we here. No jumper. Onyx on no jumper. We rocking right now.
You probably say that to everybody.
Oh, you say that to
interview.
All the hosts.
Nah, this is
popping.
Nah, this is popping. We good.
Nah, this nigga don't lie.
We good.
Oh, that's an honor.
I actually thought it was gonna get physical, but you cool.
What were we gonna do? that's
why we bought Johnny Volga, because y'all the same height.
Oh, Johnny Volga got the burner?
Yeah. No, I got the burner. Yeah.
He said, I was like, we got.
Where is it? Let me see.
In a headlock.
Gun check.
I know he get down, but nah, it's cool. Everything is smooth.
Nah, that was great.
Smooth B.
I love it. Right. Onyx.
Perry told me don't pull out the gun on TV.
Don't pull it out.
Yes. There's cameras everywhere.
Those pants are a little tight. I don't know where it would fit in.
These just ain't tight. These just ain't tight.
Yes.
Oh, he got a knot right there, though.
Why the money you talking about?
Pause, but that's a knot.
What
yeah.
you talking about?
Pause.
Right. That's not
no
what she
jumper.
Said.
You better get a jumper next time I see you, my nigga.
I'm going to get a shot, coach. Wow. Onyx, No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Like, comment, and subscribe. NoJumper.com if you want to support. Go vegan 2020.
Stickyfingers.com.
Pow. Hey, yo, what up? It's your boy, Joe Star.
It's your boy, Sticky Fingers.
Hey, yo,
we the Onyx. Word up. And if you like this video, hit a like, leave a comment, or subscribe. You heard?
Word up.